The Around the NFL Podcast. Dominates at Cornhole.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some different heroes. Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and girls?
Hey, Dan.
It's happening.
Nice. Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Great to be here.
You don't really dominate at Cornhole, do you? I mean, really, Chris is the one that dominates, and the rest of us play with him.
Well, right, you guys have seen me play for the most part.
I would not say that Cornhole is your strongest party game.
I would say that I never dominate when Wes is on the board, but when I went home for my vacation, as an example, I dominated the family competition, which is really a credit to Wes, who taught me how to throw. It's about the spin.
You have to do the spin.
So nobody saw you from here dominate, but
no,
you did.
I have seen Dan dominate sporadically.
Yeah, I'm inconsistent.
Wes is still smart from the last time he took a loss to me and our friend Ali.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about
that. So you said that's not Colleen's strongest party game. What is her strongest?
She's really good at beer pong.
Okay.
I am.
Really?
Yeah. Flip cup.
I am 0-1 in my career against Colleen in beer pong.
Yes.
Yeah, so Mark is out today. He will be back. And Colleen is sitting in, and we love having Colleen here, so good to see you, Colleen. We have what I like to call a good show, nay, a very good show. We have coaches on the hot seat as we enter 2015, which, you know, you think, is it too soon to put somebody on a hot seat? Hell no, says the Around the NFL Podcast. That's what we're going to do, and also we're going to play, you know, one of our favorite games we haven't done in a while. It is, of course, What's More Likely, where we, you know, each, you know, say, you know, throw things out, say what's more likely.
Have a couple options. It's really, the game is in the title. You almost don't even need to explain it. That's
right.
How good a game it is.
Exactly. So, and, you know, and then we're going to do some news, a lot of news, because camps are opening up on Wednesday. We already had two teams report this weekend, the Steelers and Vikings. So, really, football's back. None of this sleepy time tea anymore, guys. Time for some Red Bull. How you like that?
That not sounds that great.
Sounds very aggro. Well, we know Colleen's prepared. She's got the Mark Sessler-like setup here. Without Sessler here, it's like nothing ever changed.
Yeah.
No binders. You like
no binder.
With binders, but instead you've
Colleen,
got binders in my bed.
Colleen all made up, with the outfit, all out, making us look horrible. So you look like a young Connie Chung. But your preparation, the paper splayed out before you, reminiscent of a old Walter Cronkite.
I should probably update my system. I'm trying to really change over to the digital space. But for right now, this works.
All right.
You're one of the few millennials I know who just leaves a paper trail everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Not environmentally conscious.
Nope.
All right. But before we get into that, we're going to check behind the glass. He is Mr. TD. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, guys? A lot going on here.
I know. I can see your face.
NFL
see a lot of zippers and pockets going on.
And just so everybody, since everybody knows, like a little peek behind the glass. Well, first of all, yes, TD's wearing a sweater with many zippers and pockets. It's July 27th in Southern California.
It's cold.
It's about 88 degrees outside.
Live in the studio. It's cold.
But we are in the process of prepping our NFL Now. We're going to be on Now a lot more often, the podcast. We're all very excited about that.
So you can watch the whole thing is the plan on NFL Now.
And part of the process now, we used to like have kind of informal meetings around the cube to talk things out, but now TD is called for formal production meetings in conference rooms, and really it said a lot. I walk in, we're all getting situated, and then TD walks in last and then demands to sit at the head of the table.
That was awkward.
That happened.
Power move, huh?
Yeah.
Just a little theatrical effect. That's all it was.
It wasn't a theatrical effect. Dan was at the head of the table, and
I purposely said, "Titty, do you want to sit here?" And he's like, "What's happening, fella? Maybe. Actually, yeah."
That's the theatrical.
And you
effect,
sent me away.
It was reminiscent of a few Game of Thrones episodes.
Yeah, and then I strategically then took the other end of the head of the table, so you wouldn't be able to even. No one would really know
the Lannister scene. Yep.
Yeah, the straight Lannister. All right, buddy. Can we do some news?
Yes, we can.
In honor of the Wolf Woman, that we're workshopping your nickname as well.
Yeah.
One that we did hear about, by the way, you mentioned your high school nickname, Connie Fox.
Connie Fox. Somebody actually thought it was Connie Fox instead of Colleen Wolf, and there's really not a cool story about it, but it stuck
for
some reason.
That's a news anchor type of name, Connie Fox.
It
sounds like an alter ego.
Well, yes. So that Connie Fox goes out on the weekend.
Just so you know, there's a good chance that could stick, Colleen. But all right, let's get into the news, and we'll start with something that went down at the end of last week. The New Orleans Saints, Junior Gallette, a standout linebacker for them the last 2 years, had 22 sacks in those 2 seasons, just received a contract extension in September, totaling nearly $41.5 million. And now they got rid of him. He became a headache behind the scenes, apparently, with some reports about how he's been acting and not being a leader, and the Saints, with other things hanging over him, off-the-field incidents, decide, Greg, that's it. We don't want you. Salary cap hits be damned.
There's so much to get into here, and we'll get into all of Gallette's reaction, which makes him look like a crazy person soon. But my first reaction, just from a football angle, is, one, this is their best pass rusher, and they don't really have any natural pass rushers. And then, two, Mickey Loomis, and I include Sean Payton in this, doesn't get criticized a lot for a lot of bad moves that the Saints have made. And this one's right at the top of them. I mean, giving him $18 million guaranteed for a guy, you should know if he's a crazy person, that he's a crazy person. And that they gave him and Jimmy Graham these 2 big contracts right before last season. Now neither one of them's there.
A lot of hints of why he's a crazy person. Here's a quote. When it first happened, he told the Times-Picayune, "Everything is Sean's call," referring to Sean Payton, the coach. "He told me that himself. He's the one who pulls the trigger. The business is the business, you know? Like Vito Corleone said, watch for the traitors," referring to The Godfather.
Wow. I mean, this is a guy who, 27 years old, was voted the team captain, and sort of stepped up when Jenkins left, and everything sort of fell apart in terms of the locker room, right, and the way that everybody looks at him. And now you have a second rounder in Haui Kakaha that's going to stand in for him. I mean, right, can you really, really rely on him?
And the Times-Picayune had a in-depth story this over the weekend explaining what was going on behind the scenes, was using some unnamed sources, starting with this quote: "He stayed focused long enough to get paid. Then the real Junior came out, sad." And also the team being scratching their heads, the front office officials, when he got named captain days after he got into a fist fight with Brandon Diedrich in the locker room. I mean, this was a situation. It was hard to make sense of it, but things went downhill.
It's almost like their general manager is moonlighting with another team that the owner owns. Their GM is also the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA. Maybe he should be babysitting a little bit closer here.
Well, Gallette got into some things that the Saints don't want public, but you just mentioned one of them, which I don't think surprises a lot of people that follow the league closely, which is that, okay, Mickey Loomis has the general manager title. It's Sean Payton's team. I think it's very similar to when Bill Parcells was basically doing everything for his organization. You know, Mickey Loomis handles the money. I think Sean Payton is the one making all the decisions. And what you find with this organization is a lot of decisions that are changed a year later, not a lot of consistency, a lot of erratic behavior.
Seems like there's a lack of discipline from the top down. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now Junior Gallette is not helping himself. And, TD, do we have the vine of what Gallette responded to a reporter asking for comment?
We don't have the vine. You can talk about it, though.
Oh, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
What a vine it was.
Meltdown mode.
It was quite a vine. No, what was it, Greg?
Well, basically, you know, they asked for a comment, one reporter did, and instead he just sent a workout video of him, like, punching down, kind of like punching bags. Like, he's so angry, he's punching them down. And Scott Fujita, you know, an ex-Saint, immediately responded, like, LOL, like, this guy is such a joke.
Right.
There's a lot of other negative things that we've heard about. Will Smith, the former Saint, kind of got on him a little
bit. Well, let's start from the beginning.
There's
here.
A lot.
Apparently, he shut down his Twitter account, but then his girlfriend or some girl he knows is taking shots, and they seem like Junior Gallette's words, at Zach Strief and whatever happened in his personal life, at Sean Payton, like big shots at Sean Payton, at Drew Brees saying he's a bit – nobody respects his arm strength anymore. He called Marcus Colston washed up. He's basically taking a blowtorch to all the relationship he had with the Saints. And if you're another team, how could you possibly want to sign this guy who belongs, you know, in a straitjacket?
But he's not even doing it on his own Twitter account. He's going on, if that is what happened, he's going on somebody else's and taking shots, which is even worse.
Well, so he can shoot from behind bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
And we're you know, making light of it, but he had some very serious allegations off the field. I mean, he had an arrest on a domestic violence and simple battery charge in January. He's had a couple other incidents, you know, where he's taped doing things that, you know, so he has some major problems. And there was a little hint of this even last year. I don't know if you remember this, but he started taking random shots at the Super Bowl champion Saints defense, saying at the end of last season, saying, oh, everyone says they were so great, we've got more talent than that group anyway. Like, why are you taking shots?
Well, he said he was taken out of context. He was trying to pump up his own guys. But it seems like he's one of those guys that puts his foot in his mouth. And I will say, I don't know what kind of deal he's going to get. I think he hinted in that Twitter rant that it may or may not have been him, that there was an NFC South team that was going to pay him a lot of money to play this year. And
why would we believe anything this guy says?
I'm not saying we should. But, you know, Bucky Brooks just wrote a piece. I saw that when he ranked, like, the most important positions. And I think he put pass rusher at number two behind quarterback. So he's going to get a job because he can get to the quarterback.
I totally disagree. This guy has to be more toxic than Ray Rice right now.
Mm. Well,
he's been caught on tape doing things similar to what Ray Rice was caught on tape. Ray Rice was among the most solid citizens in the NFL before that incident. Junior Gallette has been a train wreck for the last two or three years.
He also has a torn rotator cuff right now. But Greg Hardy has a job, and I know he served his time, and maybe Gallette will serve his
Greg
time,
Greg Hardy didn't take a blowtorch to the entire Panthers organization.
Greg Hardy was accused.
The Saints basically paid
things
to get rid of him. He's that bad.
It's insane.
They paid a ton of money
to get him. The cap hit that they are taking next year, $5.4 million this year, but then another, I think, 13 or 14
like
million next
18
season.
Total.
They messed up their next offseason for that reason.
I'd be shocked if this guy's on a roster in week one.
We shall see. All right, moving on. Okay, so that's what's going on in New Orleans. In Buffalo, or Philadelphia to be more specific, LeSean McCoy, their running back, late last week sent out an invitation, and I know, Colleen, you are from the Philadelphia area.
I am.
So I don't know if this struck a chord.
It did.
He was throwing what was called a private event celebration. Here's the invitation. And I want everybody to look specifically. That's all right. The Bills logo shouldn't be used.
No.
You know, weird picture. Private event. Okay, getting a little weird. Getting weirder. Females only. 21 plus a must. Then it got shady, to use a nickname associated with the player. And, you know, I don't know who had anything to do with this. But quickly, the Bills came out and said, you can't use our logo, pulls down the Instagram, and the party disappears for all we know. Wes, your thoughts about that?
Well, I think we were at the vanguard of realizing that LeSean McCoy is basically a 1.6 on the human decency scale.
Mm.
And the way he treated reporters, we saw this offseason, calling Chip Kelly a racist. And now, not only the females only, but we saw some of the particulars involving females only. You have to basically jump through six hoops to get invited, and then he will provide the attire.
That's what
for
got
you.
Me too.
Yeah, he's gonna dress you, and then
where's the changing room, by the way?
Yeah,
and they're going to bus everybody to this party. So if you did see the most recent True Detective, that might strike a chord.
So basically, we're dealing with Caligula here.
And by the way, we didn't even mention the confidentiality agreement that any woman must sign to go to this party. Creep show.
It's just it shows the lack of self-awareness that when you're getting this party ready, that you don't think people are going to find out about it, and that you don't think some female reporter is going to say, I want to be invited, and then she sees the five little requirements that you have to get into the party, and everyone finds out you're a creep.
And then, so the party was supposed to happen on Sunday night. I don't know if it happened, but then LeSean McCoy follows it up with an Instagram post, and I will give him credit, Wes, and 1.3, that's reserved for kind of like the murderers of the world and the Bernie Madoffs. I don't know if I'd put him that low personally.
You know, living in L.A. and trying to date, you know, everyone claims that they're down to earth and they're genuine. This is the opposite of down to earth. He's completely forgotten who he is.
All right, let's see, TD, if you could put up his Instagram post on Sunday with the following. It was a funny message. I won't get into the whole thing, but he kind of backed off and tried to poke fun at it, said no longer is it an alcohol last party of the season, you know, shindig. Now it's a smoothie party, and everyone, man and woman, is invited except for Hulk Hogan, who's alleged.
Well, he invited Roger Goodell.
He can't come.
Carly Lloyd.
Can't have Hulk.
He can't come.
Can't have
Chip
Hulk.
Kelly's going.
Oprah.
Yeah.
Chip
he was invited.
This sounds like a good party. I mean, I love a good
I'm not going to a
I love
smoothie
a good
party.
Smoothie.
I love the waiter from the awful, the burger joint.
Yeah,
the
never
awful
forget.
Service.
I would say hashtag never forget that LeSean McCoy once gave a waiter in a Philly burger restaurant a 29-cent tip.
Did you notice he misspelled Roger Goodell?
Uh-oh.
Now that's grounds for suspension. So that's what's going on with LeSean McCoy, who, by the way, and I did his radio spot over the weekend, explain a brag, and I mentioned nobody needs a season to start more quickly than LeSean McCoy. Get him on a field. Shut him up. Moving forward. So the Baltimore Ravens, you know, are one of the teams that could gain a lot from Tom Brady missing multiple games to start the season. There was a report that came out from ESPN, Sal Palantonio, on Friday. Not a report, but he said on a radio station that Steve Bisciotti, the Ravens owner, was one of several AFC owners. He also name-dropped Jim Irsay, that would be very angry and angered with Roger Goodell if Tom Brady's an exonerated guy and gets a suspension thrown out. That angered Bisciotti enough to come out with his own statement on Sunday. "I have not and will not put any pressure on the commissioner or anyone representing the NFL office to take action on what everyone is calling Deflategate. The story circulating that I have put pressure on Roger is 100% wrong."
This would be a juicy story if it was true, but I saw Joe Banner, who was formerly the Eagles president, came out and said this stuff doesn't happen, basically, and the last person who would do it would be Steve Bisciotti.
Well, there's two different things here. Is he pressuring Goodell? That's the part that's a little harder to believe. The part that they would be upset, well, of course they'd be upset. Like, of course the Colts and the Ravens are rooting for Brady to get four games and get punished. I mean, they're not rooting, "Oh, well, I hope just because we
that's
don't."
That's weak.
But of course they're rooting
that's
for
weak.
That.
Well, they'll beat a full team.
It's like Daniel Jeremiah when he had that torn Achilles tendon. Dan, there was a little bit of a fist pump in the office with Dan.
Oh,
you know,
it's
just. Okay, that's
that. I mean, I can't imagine, though, that they're also just, like, sitting back and being like, "Yeah, you know, I trust your judgment, Roger. Everything is going to be fine here."
I listened to what Palantonio said. He said that they've been upset for years, apparently, that the Patriots have gotten away with murder. So if this were to happen and they got away with this, too, it would lead to major issues.
But that is to be expected, too. One, because the Patriots are often in the news for stories like this. And two, because they've been winning. No one is ever happy with the team that's winning.
Sour grapes.
They're cheetahs.
It's weak. Grow up.
Cheetahs, Greg. They're cheetahs.
Dan's showing his New York tendencies here. Oh, by the way, hey, we still haven't found out how long Tom Brady's been suspended. Remember that?
His appeal was heard
on
June 23rd. We're taping this on week. July 27th. The Patriots report to camp on Wednesday. Let's go. Let's get it done. Bisciotti, I agree with the last thing he said. Fans and people like me want to see the issue resolved now. Amen.
Should I stop holding out hope that he's just going to be fined $25,000 as is written in the rule book?
They'll be banned two games. Book it.
Day now.
Moving on. The Colts gave a lot of money to Goster Cherlius. That's one of those names I will never be able to pronounce.
You might not need to very
long. they gave the right tackle a huge contract, $34.5 million in 2013, and it never worked out. He was shaky his first season, battled injuries in his second season when he was one of the worst right tackles in football. And the Colts cut ties on Sunday, releasing him. They were owed no more guaranteed money to him. So chalk this up, Wes, as another mistake by GM Ryan Grigson, right?
Ryan Grigson has had a lot of salary cap room to work with ever since he became the Colts GM. And in this first free agency period, when he signed Goster Cherlius and Eric Walden and Laurent Landry, it hasn't worked out very well. I can't blame him for Goster Cherlius needing microfracture surgery. How can you predict health?
Are you just saying his name over and over again to rub it in that I can't say it?
No, I think you can say it. I have full confidence in you.
Goster Cherlius.
You can pronounce his name better than you can pronounce the Bengals.
Bongles.
I mean, he has made a lot of big-time mistakes. I mean, you think of Trent Richardson, but there's also – remember Arthur Jones? They gave a ton of money to last
give him
year.
Another year before write it off.
I'm just saying, Goster Cherlius, that was one of those signings where even at the time, everyone was like, well, that's interesting. He had one good year out of four or five, and now let's pay him like a top-level tackle.
Yeah, and he'd still be there if it wasn't for his knee being basically ruined.
We're going to talk about later, like I said, the coaches that are on the hot seat. We're not going to get into Pagano, who I think also isn't. But
I don't think Pagano's on
you know,
the hot seat.
I think both the GM and coach are under fire here because this team, it's been set up, it seems, that they need to get to the Super Bowl. That's a lot of heat.
Every year they go one step further in the playoffs.
Well, they got to get to the Super
Pagano's,
Bowl.
Pagano's, I don't think he's on the hot seat.
I wouldn't say this season. Maybe if they don't get there next year, but not now.
I'm with Dan. What's more of a hot seat than a one-year contract? And that's what they're on. They're on the last year of their contract. If they just threw in a 9-7 stinker, you could absolutely see Jim Irsay acting impulsive and getting rid of both of those guys.
And the hot seat discussion will continue later.
That's just a sneak
preview. What a tease.
That's a tease.
Hubba. All right, moving on. Unless anybody's had anything to say about
it.
Goster.
Well, I think that the Colts' offensive line is in fine shape. Jack Mueller is a good right tackle. Todd Harriman. They've got a lot of versatility, and they might sign Evan Mathis.
Oh, and read Wes's Frank Gore piece, by the way. He did a lot of research on it. I loved it. And, Wes, you saw me reading it physically at one point, right?
This is one of the few articles that I actually believe you have read.
All right, moving on. All right, the Arizona Cardinals have added a pass-catching tight end to the mix. His name is Jermaine Gresham. He is signing a one-year deal with the team. He spent the first 5 years of his career with the Bengals, where he was a steady performer, maybe didn't live up to expectations. Colleen, do you think that Gresham will have a big role in that offense, which has some nice players in place?
I wouldn't expect anything huge because they never really involve tight ends that much. And it's weird to me because when I looked at their roster, they have like 7 tight ends on there right now. Obviously, they're not going to be keeping all of them, but it makes me think, like, are they going to possibly be running more tight end sets or something? But they never really do, so I can't imagine that he would.
I think they just needed a proven guy. They needed a veteran. Jermaine Gresham.
He's okay.
We're calling him a pass-catching tight end, but he had basically been relegated to a blocking role with the Bengals recently.
But he'll go out there. He catches 50 balls a year just for a team that hasn't had anyone good. I think this could be one of those. It's not going to make
he's the
biggest
guy,
difference ever, but
like,
it helps.
He's your classic. Your tight end has a bye in fantasy, and you pick up Jermaine Gresham.
Always.
Because he goes 5,505 like almost every year. He's that guy. Also in the news, the Miami Dolphins have released quarterback Josh Freeman, who you know, they signed and you thought maybe you'd see him in training camp, but he doesn't even make it there. So if you remember, it seems like a long time ago, in 2013 he started week one for the Bucks, got cut, signed with the Vikings, didn't last, had a cup of coffee with the Giants last year, and now another cup of coffee with the Dolphins. Wes, is it time for Josh Freeman to head to the CFL?
He doesn't matter anymore. I mean, I kind of argued against having a long Josh Freeman segment here. Because
we're not having a long segment. We're just mentioning
we're going to give him about 90 to 112 seconds.
Between that game with the Vikings against the Giants was one of the worst quarterbacked games we've ever seen by a veteran, and all the reports out of Tampa Bay that he just wasn't committed to playing football, I think he's done. I think teams have washed their hands. 27 has
shown, at least in a short term, the Bucks that he could play a little bit. That Vikings thing was not all his fault either. They did a terrible job pushing him into the lineup immediately.
Right, but some of the passes he threw were
awful. He played terribly.
Yes.
But he wasn't ready. Even if he was
a student,
he wouldn't have been ready.
That's fair.
It's crazy to think it was only a few years ago he had a 25-touchdown, 6-interception season. But it's also crazy to think that it was only like 6 months ago I said that exact same point on the podcast. Like, this happens every 6 months.
This is his stage of his career now. Yeah.
If we're going to keep writing about Terrell Pryor, we got to keep writing about Josh Freeman.
You got to. I mean, he's a guy people know. He's a quarterback.
I miss all the younger Buccaneers when they were promising people.
Raheem,
Muscle Hamster.
That's one of your favorite muscle nicknames.
Well, it's my favorite because it's literally the worst nickname in the history of the NFL.
It's so bad.
Worse than Muscle Hamster?
No, but just to call yourselves youngry,
yeah,
stupid.
Wow. Hashtag marketing.
All right, moving on. All right, let's talk some suspensions.
Suspension roundup.
Everybody loves suspensions, and I'll go down the line. The Kansas City Chiefs will be without Sean Smith, their cornerback, for 3 games of the regular season. The league's substance abuse policy is the reason behind this. He pled guilty to a DUI charge in 2014. The team announced that Friday. The Broncos will lose Derek Wolfe. He gets a 4-game suspension. He will miss games against the Chiefs, Lions, and Vikings, along with the Ravens. And then LaTroy Guion of the Packers will miss 3 games as well. He plans to appeal the punishment. It's a 3-game ban after being charged with possession of marijuana and a firearm. Thoughts?
This Sean Smith suspension is sneakily very debilitating for the Chiefs.
It is.
They have a very young cornerback crew. They were already starting their first-round draft pick. What's his name, Marcus Peters? And without Sean Smith, this is a team that we could see going 7-9 or 9-7 or 10-6. They need to be at full strength to kind of come out, win a wild card. I don't know. To me, this hurts a lot.
He only allowed 50% of his passes that were sent his way to be completed, and he's missing, as you said, the Texans, which doesn't really bother me, but the Broncos and the Packers, and that could hurt them.
Chiefs are one of those teams. I think the job Andy Reid has done has been underrated, because you look at that roster, especially right now in the offensive line, it's like it's a bad roster. It's not a very good team, and it's like the team I'm least looking forward to watching, but on paper, they look like a 5-11 type of team.
If we were to power rankings, team of ATL, Chiefs might be 32nd because they're that boring to watch.
There's not a lot of pop there right now. By the way, that was a good stat, by the way, Colleen. It sounds like you were laying in bed with the binder again.
I might have been.
I knew your eyes lit
Wes
up.
Wes called
Sean's
me out for it last night. He knew it.
Colleen has admitted she lays in bed at night, late at night, and just looks at her binder. I joked before the podcast, if you see the tie on the door, don't come in. Binder time.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I can't sleep, so yeah. I just
have you heard of,
pour over teams.
An iPad.
Well, you know, you're not supposed to read front digital screens before you go to sleep.
Oh,
you
I
hear
do.
About that?
I do every night.
Yeah. So I either read a book or read a binder.
Wow. I'm good doing shit. Things wrong.
You are disciplined.
You don't fall asleep watching Game Rewind?
No.
You must have a good home printer.
I do. I actually
not
bought
many people
one.
Have those anymore.
You bought a printer?
I had to buy a printer.
You're such an uncle.
I am. Actually, I know.
Hey, Grace, we got a new printer.
How much
my
are
dad
printers
was trying
these days,
to
like
convince
$9.99?
Me. It does pictures too. But my dad was trying to convince me to get a fax machine. And I was like, all right, I definitely don't need a fax.
All right, and Colleen, you're a fascinating woman. That's why we like having you here. And finally, this went down right when we came upstairs. Jonathan Martin, who was claimed by the Panthers on waivers recently, the offensive lineman, is going to announce his retirement. He was cut by the 49ers in March. Most famous, of course, for his role as the victim in the Bullygate scandal with the Dolphins and Richie Incognito. So a back injury seems to have ended his career. He's chosen to retire. Still a young guy. It never worked out, Wes.
Yeah, I loved it. We saw this while we were preparing for the podcast, and RotoWorld's headline popped up, Bullygate victim Jonathan Martin retiring. That's what he's been rendered. He's just the Bullygate victim.
Which is too – I mean, it's too bad for him because he
– Also rich former first-round pick.
Yes.
Relatively.
Don't forget about that.
But is he rich in happiness? In
now, that's
in
a good
family?
Question.
That's the sort of thing that really give you happiness in life.
What,
you know what, Greg? You're
do
right.
you believe he was ever really in love with playing football?
It seemed like there were questions about that from the beginning before any of this Bullygate stuff happened. So maybe this shouldn't shock.
He went to the Panthers and then he was basically like, all right, I'm out, guys.
Yeah, it was just never going to happen.
Him and the Blind Side, Michael Orr, in the same locker room just felt like too much, too many side stories.
We should put together like an all sad offensive line and the bookends, a tackle would be Orr and poor Jonathan Martin.
You know there are issues when a guy like Ricky Williams calls you out and says maybe you don't belong in the NFL,
wow.
Which is what he did during the Bullygate scandal, that Ricky pretty much read that situation exactly correct and said you can't bully somebody in the NFL. The object of the game is to bully other people. And he, you know, Ricky went into a lot of depth on this issue. It was fascinating to hear him talk about it. And he basically said maybe – he would be happier doing something else.
I value Ricky Williams, his input, because he's an interesting guy, but Richie Incognito was a jerk.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think Ricky wasn't Beyond taking Incognito's bounce. Side.
Yeah.
He was just coming at it from a maybe he would be happier doing something else besides playing football.
Mm-hmm. I say down with bullies in general.
Yeah, what's great about bullies?
Strong stance.
Area man takes strong anti-bully stance. All right, that's it. That's what's happening in the news. Let's move on. We keep rolling. The show never stops rolling. Colleen, there are no reverse gears in this tank.
None. That's good.
Let's talk about the coaches that are under the most pressure in 2015. This was a post we have up on the Around the NFL site, nfl.com/aroundthenfl/. All that pressure that these coaches are feeling. Is that real?
There's so many slashes.
I think that's too many slashes. Is that allowed?
Password, cool cats.
New England clam chowder.
Yeah. All right. Let's start rolling then. Colleen, we'll start. Oh, wait. Excuse me. I would like to start with Chris Wesson.
Whoa.
Why is that?
Curveball.
Listen, like I told you,
says.
I got to look behind the glass. And TD, ever since he went to the front of that table, he started
gotta
to say,
go in order.
This is who you can talk to. When I felt like a kept boyfriend. Right
no,
now.
It looked like you had a string attached and TD's
well,
the marionette. Oh, puppeteer.
Another little peek behind the curtain. I looked at Dan's little paper here, and it said, start segment with favorite friend. And he was like, he thought it was Colleen. Oh, no. Nope, it's actually Chris.
That's it. All right, Wes, if we can move past this, you get us going.
Ken Whisenhunt, he goes 2-14 in his first year with the Titans. They're the most anonymous team in the league. Nobody knows who they are. They basically don't even exist in the NFL for a year. And now they draft Marcus Mariota, which would seem to give him a little bit of a leash.
I think it does.
But if Mariota has a dismal rookie year, and we're hearing reports that they're counting on starting Harry Douglas and Kendall Wright, two sub-6-foot receivers who basically are best suited for the slot, if this is what Ken Wisenhunt's doing, he's not setting up Marcus Mariota for success.
I remember after the draft, you were pretty optimistic about the Titans. You were excited.
I am, until I hear that they're going to start Harry Douglas. That really
That's it.
That was it.
Wes is out. Out the Titans.
Well, you got dueling slants to Kendall Wright and Harry Douglas? That's your offense?
This is Ken Wisenhunt's problem. He went 2-14 last year. He didn't go 5-11 or 6-10. When you go 2-14, if you drop another 3 or 4 win hammer, the ownership is going to be like, no, we can't have this.
And the ownership and the presidents and the CEO and everything there has been in flux. It's an unstable situation in general. But I do think I disagree with you on this, just because I do think if he gets one of those 5 or 6 win seasons, that'll be like, okay, we're making progress.
It's a big if.
I mean, he needs to get respectable.
I don't think it's that big an if in that division. It's hard to lose 14 games.
If they start Bishop Sankey and Harry Douglas,
that's
do you think
awful.
They're winning more than 3 or 4 games?
No.
With a rookie quarterback?
And with a rookie quarterback?
I mean, and if Marcus Mariota isn't the real deal, everyone's getting
fired. Who are their playmakers on defense?
They have depth. They have a decent amount of players on defense.
You know, the Titans.
You know, they got our old guy, defensive coordinator, who we've always been in love with. I mean, give him a chance.
Nobody's scared of the Titans.
And aren't they in part of your Bermuda Triangle?
They are.
That's not fair, Wes, because we were all excited. We got all the tweets of people being like, oh, there's some hope. The guys are talking us up. Now we're going to bury him like that?
Look, I'm just saying he's on the hot seat.
I'm not burying.
He has to produce. And starting Harry Douglas will not get that done.
All right, Colleen, now it is your turn.
Okay, this is big.
Your coach on the
second. So favorite. I'm going with Jeff Fisher and the Rams. Mm. 3 years there, and there hasn't been a winning record. They've peaked at 7 wins. They haven't done better than third in the division. Yes, that is a tough division, but this year the 49ers aren't going to be as good. So I think that with Nick Foles there, not that Nick Foles is a huge upgrade or really an upgrade at all, but he is seemingly healthy as a quarterback for them. They picked up Todd Gurley, who, you know, might not be totally healthy, but when he is good, they're going to have a legit running back. And you look at the pieces that they've sort of moved around. If he can't do something with it this year and they do move to L.A., they're just going to get rid of him, no question.
How sad would that be for Jeff Fisher? I feel like he's always wanted – he would love to be coaching an L.A. team.
It would be expensive for them, though, because he has 2 years left on his contract.
I think that this is one of those franchises that whether they're very loyal or in some type of organizational malaise, they stick with their guys. Barring a disaster, I think Jeff Fisher's safe. Just like Les Snead, I don't think there's any chance he loses his job.
Even if they move?
I don't know why that would necessarily even change their mindset about what happens.
If anything, that's a plus, because I think Fisher, USC guy, the whole – just his experience in the league. He's
they
been
love
with
him.
The team that moved
Everybody
before.
Loves Jeff Fisher.
But I do think they do need to show some progress. If they put up a stinker – You would think you have to make a change.
It's one of the immutable laws of the NFL, like the Bengals losing the first Saturday of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Rams can't have more than 7 wins. That's not possible.
Well, he better be an upgrade at quarterback.
Jeff Fisher can't have more than 7 wins. Jeff Fisher goes 7-9 like 60% of the seasons he's ever had in the NFL.
How long did he last in Tennessee after that Super Bowl run with not a lot of progress? Maybe there was that 1 year where they started off real hot. But
you know, going back to our that show we did a few weeks ago, it's because he's the biggest flirt.
He is.
He's always sweet talking those reporters.
Yeah.
Greg, I would like to know your coach who is on the hot seat.
Well, here's another guy who goes 7-9 more often than people realize, never wins 10 games in a season, Tom Coughlin.
I mean, Greg.
I mean, someone's got to put him on the hot seat because
the
Giants
wins Super Bowls, though, I'll tell you that.
Everyone's like, oh, you couldn't last in the New York media. The New York media is so hard. Hey, how about bringing up the fact that he has as many 10-win seasons since 2009 as Brad Childress and Todd Haley? I mean, aren't coaches supposed to be defined by being good in the regular season? The Giants have been good once out of 6 years in the regular
season. What's that talking about the New York media? They treat him like he's a pussycat.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm saying that's my point, is that
they never rip on Coughlin.
I didn't know that I had to say this, because I thought we were all kind of a little plugged in on this issue. But when you win Super Bowls, it gives you a lot of rope. And then when you win a second Super Bowl,
yeah, I feel ya.
It gives you even more rope, to the point where you're almost untouchable. He's almost used up that rope. But I think barring them having an awful season, they're not going to push him out.
It was 7-9 2 years ago, 6-10. You've got your franchise quarterback. I do think they would push him out. It wouldn't be a firing, but it'd be a retirement.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. If things went badly, if things went real bad.
Sure, with all these guys, if they go bad.
What if they go 8-8 or 9-7 and miss the playoffs?
I think playoffs are bust and he's out.
Really?
We said that last year about him.
I thought that last year, and they went 6-10 and they stayed. I mean, you got to put
They'll
up
start a- off like 0-something, then they'll win all of December's games like they usually do.
I think Wes, as the ODB guy, he saved Coughlin's job. We've talked
saved
about
Jerry
that.
Reese's job,
I thought
too.
Dan
saved Eli Manning's job.
Well, Dan is usually one of those guys that's too. It's like New York, that's a tough market. You know, you can't handle it anymore.
It is.
They're very soft on Coughlin.
Because
great
when you
president.
Win,
yeah.
when you win titles in iconic ways, as the Giants have done against your boys,
yeah.
that's what happens. New York loves a winner.
Yeah.
I don't want to defend the Giants. Think I want to defend the Giants?
You usually do.
I'm sick of the Giants.
You love the
That's
Giants.
The role you were forced to play on this podcast.
And they keep
I'm
bringing
not comfortable
in
with
offensive
it.
Coordinators. It's like Ben McAdoo. You can't. You have to let Eli Manning get comfortable in the system, and we saw that happen halfway through the season last year.
That's true. I mean, bringing Spagnuolo back, though, does feel like a kind of last gasp, bringing the gang back together. If this doesn't work, then we all
– And by the way, they are going to the playoffs this year.
Okay.
I don't Putting dispute that.
Bold. All right, moving on. Finally, I'm going to go with – let's go to Florida. Sometimes I forget Joe Philbin still was employed.
Sometimes the Dolphins forget he's still employed.
How did Joe Philbin not get fired after last year? He's in rarefied air. He's a head coach that has been around 3 years, has never posted a winning record, and gets to return for a fourth year, and having no pedigree in his past as being successful as a head coach. And yet here he is, still the coach, and I would think even though he's had this outrageous rope, I would think it's going to run out with the amount of money that they handed out to both Tannehill and Sue, and the fact that everyone is all hyped up in the AFC East, that this is the year that the Patriots are going down. If the Dolphins stink it out again, it's over for Joe Philbin. Over. And one other thing I want to add, he spoke to ESPN yesterday. It was one of my favorite because I love Joe Philbin. I've loved him since Hard Knocks, as a comedy figure, since Hard Knocks when he was telling people to tie their shoes and picking up gum off the practice field. His line in the ESPN interview, I came here to win championships. I didn't come here to be average and be 8-8. Steve Ross doesn't want to own the team to be average. Our fans don't want to be average. Our players don't want to be average. So that's what we're here for. That's why we invest and put in the effort, time into what we do. Joe Philbin, the most average coach in the history of the NFL.
Average
that,
Joe.
That
Whoa.
What?
Average Joe. I like it. That quote coming from a guy who's basically the 2014 Tennessee Titans of football coaches.
The only thing not average about him, the pleats in his pants. Always very
hardcore pleats.
Well, why are they NFL could, like, coaches cut somebody. Still wearing pleats?
That guy loves pleats.
It is weird that he's gotten this role because it's not like it's a dynamic personality like that you can imagine him in the room with Steven Rutt. Well, I just can't
turn my back on this
too
guy.
Dynamic.
He's got charisma for days.
And wasn't there a heat between him and Tannehill at some point last year?
Yeah, he almost benched him.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously the organization is happy with Tannehill.
It was just like a month or two ago that Dan ranked 3 tape recorders as having more charisma than Joe Philbin at the Tannehill press conference.
That was mean, admittedly. By the way, Colin.
Also accurate.
Yeah. Colleen, I'm a little upset, by the way, because I was really proud of myself. In the post we have up at aroundtheleague.com/coaches under pressure, can't you feel that pressure, password cool cats. I called Philbin Teflon Joe. I was proud of myself. But average Joe is so much better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
Whatever, Colleen. You're never coming back.
I was going to say, Colleen's invitation.
Oh, no.
Out of the studio.
I'm in the same room as DJ now.
Uh-oh.
All right, that's it. That's it for the coaches on the hot seat. Good luck, guys. Finally, we move on to our final segment of the show. Is everybody excited?
Oh, yeah.
It's called the transition period right
now. It's the best segment. Not saying the last one was terrible, but this is better.
It's everybody's favorite game. Well, like second or third favorite game. We call it. This is what we call it.
What's more likely?
All right. The game is simple for new listeners and viewers. If you, each of us will lay out two different. This is the training camp edition. Let me make that clear. We're going to lay out two different things, two realities. You and then we all talk about which one is, you know, more likely to happen. And I got to refer to my TD notes again. Who's going first? It will be Greg, the boss.
All right.
Greg, TD just pulling those strings.
Yeah.
All right. My two scenarios. Two men that have been in the news quite a bit. We're maybe sick of talking about them. Darren McFadden makes it through all of August without missing a single practice. Or Sam Bradford makes it through all of August without missing a single practice. What's more likely?
What was the first
one? Wow, that's a tough one.
McFadden or Bradford.
Without missing a practice.
They're able to practice throughout training camp. This is really the training camp edition of what's more likely.
I'll go with McFadden by default because I believe there will be, like, days built into Sam Bradford's schedule where he has to sit.
I don't know about that.
I think that they're not going to push it with Bradford, and they're going to really take it slow with him and, like, put kid clubs on for him. So I think that he is definitely more likely, like, to sit out.
Sam Bradford is envious of Joe Namath's original knees at this point. There's no way they're going to just, like, run him out there and have him run in hills throughout, like, the summer in a heat wave.
I don't know. I think he's going to – they said he's going to be ready for training camp. Maybe he's not practicing twice a day and he's out there. But Darren McFadden, to me, is even less likely.
Why?
Yeah, isn't Darren McFadden more famous for being crappy than being injury prone at this point?
He's famous for both.
A little bit, yeah.
He's always battling.
He walks that line. It's very impressive.
Yeah, you want that guy who's injury prone and terrible.
It's like, I can't decide what he is, more injury prone or more crappy. Let's sign him and make our feature back. That's going to end well. Yeah. All right, who's up next? Chris Wessling.
What's more likely?
Wait.
What's more likely?
Michael Vick rejoins former offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg with the Ravens, or Ray Rice rejoins former offensive coordinator Jim Caldwell with the Lions.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, I'm going to go Michael Vick and Marty Morningweg.
Do you think that Morningweg's going to see Matt Schaub throw and just say, all right, why is this guy my backup?
I think so. And have you seen the videos that Michael Vick is posting of himself?
Looks like Uncle
working
Rico.
Working out.
Uncle Rico.
He's basically now the guy on the highway, like, asking for change. It's getting sad. Like, just hold a sign up at this point. He doesn't deserve that.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw this football over those mountains?
I'm gonna go Ray Rice. I like that combination in Detroit.
Joik Bell's coming off three surgeries. Is health a question mark?
That's kind of a team. Ownership has to sign off on anything. The ownership in Detroit, relatively, you know, hands off. Maybe they're not going to get in the mix. I just don't think Michael Vick's going to get another chance. I could see.
Really? You think Michael Vick is going to sit out the season?
I think his career's over, yeah.
Wow.
He can be a backup, though, no?
He could, but I don't think anyone wants to bother.
I would much rather have Michael Vick than Matt Castle.
Can you just say it again to me, Wes? For some reason, it was like the Charlie Brown where I was looking at you talking, but I just heard wah, 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 wah. Could I do it again?
You say Morningweg, that happens. It's Marty Morningweg. Yeah.
Michael Vick rejoins Marty Morningweg, his former offensive coordinator, with the Ravens.
Right.
Because they decide, obviously, that Matt Schaub can't throw.
Yep.
Or Ray Rice rejoins Jim Caldwell, who was his former offensive coordinator, with the Lions. Mm.
I think it's more likely that Michael Vick gets a job.
Well, but these are very specific Ravens, Lions, you know?
Yeah.
That's your
There's a lot of buzz about Ray Rice right now, that teams are starting to do their homework on him, that he's starting to push for it. Greg Schiano's out there kind of shopping him around, and there are anti-domestic violence groups who have come out and say that they believe Ray Rice deserves another chance.
Wow. I mean, is it possible that his agent's pumping this up a little bit, just making it seem
like it? It's not even possible. It's true.
Right.
The Lions could use him, too.
Absolutely. I think so.
All right. Next up.
You're staying with Vic.
I'm staying with Vic, though. Right. Because I think Vic has a little bit left. I don't know if he has much left, but I still think Ray Rice, even if it's over and he's atoned, I still think teams won't want to give him a paycheck. That's how I feel.
Okay.
My turn.
What's more likely?
Ryan Mallett surprises us and wins the starting job in Houston. Or E.J. Manuel surprises us and wins the starting job in Buffalo.
I'll jump right in. E.J. Manuel is more likely. I think he came out of the offseason as the very slight favorite.
Castle's your boy,
in
too.
In Buffalo.
Used to be Greg's boy.
He's still my boy. You know, he's not a practice player. You put on the bright lights. That's when Matt Castle really
That's the scatter report on him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a big game situation. He's not into – this is Buffalo. He's been in the big leagues, like Kansas City.
Matt Castle thrives on real-time adrenaline.
Right now, E.J. Manuel's maybe the slight – it would probably be the slight favorite to start. He's just a third-year player. Give him another chance. Whereas I really would be stunned if Brian Hoyer isn't the starter in Houston.
I wouldn't be stunned, but I agree that E.J. Manuel is more likely here. I think that all the beat writers have come out and said that Hoyer is basically in the lead, even though the Texans haven't come out. And like you said, all E.J. Manuel has to do is beat out a broken-down Matt Castle and some guy named Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. One thing I will say, if E.J. Manuel wins the job, it's quite a comeback story, because under, like, the coach that he was drafted under gave up on him after 3 weeks last year, you would think a new coach comes in and it's over for E.J. Manuel. It's just a matter of time where he gets cut. But he could win this job.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite way. with it. I'm going Mallett because I don't really know a whole lot about him. Nobody does. The unknown is sort of sexier to me than going with the other, going in the other direction. I think EJ Manuel, he's probably damaged a little bit still mentally from everything last year that went down. So I would, yeah, I'd go Mallett.
The headline, Mallett sexier than Hoyer.
I mean, you can take what you want from that.
That's a Connie Fox hot take right there.
That is what it is.
All right, let's do another one. I'll throw another one out there.
What's more likely?
Junior Gillette is invited to Sean Payton's Christmas party, or the aforementioned Connie Fox, Colleen Wolf, is named podcast MVP by TD. And it's important to understand the context here is that Colleen has never gotten the MVP award for her trips on the show.
No.
Really?
And there was one time where TD specifically said he would not give Colleen the award because she had already won it, but he was thinking of Lindsay Rhodes,
yeah,
which is sexist and weird. What's more likely?
Oh, wow.
I think it has to be Colleen. That's the most likely thing possible. That's almost 100%.
There's no way that the things that Junior Gillette was saying about Sean Payton, Sean Payton might have him wiped off the face of the earth.
But TD has no respect for Colleen.
Clearly. Wow. Clearly all blondes are alike here.
Oh, wow.
TD, you have anything to say?
No comment. Just no comment.
Well, if you do win, it might be an important podcast MVP, the last one we'll ever give, because we've been trying to kill this silly segment for a long time.
No, it's funny that like TD will pop in out of nowhere and give us like a review of Peaky Blinders or something. And then when I tee you up, you got nothing to say.
I'm a busy guy right now.
Oh.
That's all it is.
You know what, though? Give TD credit. He's doing a lot of things right now. This Now operation is turning into a gargantuan task.
It's a nightmare.
Are you losing sleep at this point?
What sleep? I don't even know what that is.
We believe in you, TD. Bless, do you believe in TD?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, that was
I wanted
warm.
To put some thought into it. Yeah, I believe in him.
You could always get an honest answer out of Wes. All right, let's move on. Let's snake it back. Wes, give me one.
What's more likely?
Wait.
What's more likely?
This, in honor of Colleen, I have an Eagles-related question since she's from Philly. The Eagles trade linebacker Michael Kendricks, who seems to be superfluous at this point, or Mark Sanchez beats out Sam Bradford for the Week 1 starting job. Which one of those scenarios is more likely?
I'll go Kendricks on this one, just because Chip Kelly has no problem trading people away. And I think that he was already on the trading block at one point. I think his name was floated out there.
Yeah, before the draft.
So that could definitely happen. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, if you check out the website, we've got our top 18 position battles in the AFC and the NFC up. And one of the top ones in the NFC is Eagles inside linebacker. They have Michael Kendricks, D'Amico Ryans, and Kiko Alonso, and they're paying Ryan $6 million.
They love D'Amico Ryans.
He would be the guy that would logically get benched out of those three because he's older and he's coming off a really serious injury, but they gave him a ton of money.
He's their defensive leader.
Yeah, that they say he's going to be a big part. So I'm still going to go Sanchez starting despite all that.
I think
Sanchez has a good chance to start.
I think Sanchez is maybe at this point of their careers is just as good, if not better, than Bradford, who's, you know, compromised.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
But at the same time, I do think there is something to the organization. They want Sam Bradford to win the job. So barring, you know, a disaster of a preseason performance and an injury, I think Bradford will start Week 1. So I'll say Kendrick's getting traded. Next.
What's more likely?
Connie.
All right, so mine are not training camp related. I didn't get that memo.
Oh, all right, whatever.
Okay. All right, so we're going more serious ones, right? Here? This one?
Here.
Okay. Eli Manning throws more touchdown passes than Peyton Manning in 2015.
Yummy.
Or the Cowboys running backs combined for more rushing yards than Adrian Peterson.
Oh, I'm going with I'm going with Eli throws more than Peyton because I just don't trust Peyton's arm right now.
Well, you do get to combine all the Cowboys ones.
What is a crappy team typically
I was looking at
rush
that.
Rush for.
Not more than 2,000 yards.
Oh, but no, it goes anywhere
in
from
in theory,
like,
this is a great rushing team. They just have no rushers.
Well, games don't happen in theory.
It goes from like, I think the lowest was like a little over 1,200 yards. And then like the medium was like around 1,800-ish. And then it went up to like 22.
I like
that. Was the neighborhood.
I mean, you cheated by using regular season heat, Colleen. But
well, we didn't tell her the rules well. I'll go with Peyton as well. just because I've been in the Peterson camp having a monster season all off season, and you never know. Eli could throw 35. Peyton could have a weird year where it's not that great statistically.
Peyton could have three.
Sure.
I mean, you never know. Will his body make it through the season? They like Brock Osweiler. Who knows what Peyton's going to do? Mm. And Eli's got Odell Beckham. All bets are off.
And maybe Victor Cruz if he doesn't drop passes.
I think Peterson will run for 1,500 yards. It's a tough one. I'll go with Peterson. I'm going to bank on Peterson.
Okay.
And I think the Cowboys are taking a step back this year, so their running game will be a problem if that's the case. Got
so
anybody
you
else?
I think it's Eli is more likely.
I think, yeah, it's more like, well, yeah.
Yeah. You struggle with this game sometimes.
Sometimes I get caught up. Finally, one more.
What's more likely?
All right, Wes continues to develop an appreciation for the Bengals. It continues to grow throughout August. His heart starts to attach himself even more
it's
to
like
the Bengals.
It's like the Grinch I'm picturing.
Or Dan says something remotely negative about the Jets in the month of August. What's more likely?
I can already tell you the answer to this one. Dan's going to say something negative about the Jets.
Let's start with Colleen then, since she's the only one who's unbiased in this.
Yeah, I don't see Wes coming back around on the Bengals.
He's been coming back around.
I reread the entire dossier when we had the pain rankings the other day, and it brought back a lot of feelings that I haven't felt in 20 years.
You got to leave the past in the past, man.
No.
Earn the dossier.
No, it was a very healthy exercise for me to understand why I walked away and to realize I was not in error when I walked away. There were great reasons
for it.
For those that don't know, Chris, when he was a younger man, created an entire binder full of articles and, you know, Colleen's like, ooh, I like
binders. I like binders. I like paper and tree products.
Where you collected all the reasons why you were breaking up, essentially, with the Bengals and all the missteps that they have made and all the reasons you weren't happy with their ownership.
I forgot just how egregious some of the things they did were, and now it brought that back. So no,
you got to let go of the hurt in your heart.
It's like your ex-wife. You're thinking about hopping back into bed with her, and then you just like, oh, wait, she did that to me.
How many years have you been clean?
17.
Wow.
That is a long time. By the way, you remember the old Busta Rhymes song, Pass the Cavassier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about if we get like a Weird Al version, Burn the Dossier?
Ooh, I like that.
Hey,
can someone do that? Is there someone out there that can do that for us for no cost?
If nothing else, we'll get a Photoshop
no payment.
Like version of what the record title would look like. Dan, what's your answer at least?
Well, I find myself to be a critical Jets fan at the time.
Oh,
I feel like you're taking a shot at me there.
Oh, shit. But before the season, never too inflated on
the Jets. I'm excited about the Jets this year. Chris, this is what I know about Wes. I love him. Very proud man. If he comes back to the Bengals, it'll be over a period of years. It's not going to happen over the course of the
training. I'm just saying it's going to continue.
And it certainly won't happen with Andy Dalton in the mix.
Dan is reading the situation very well.
All right.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think it could happen, though. I think in a big picture, I think it's happening. That's it. Do we have anybody else?
I'll do one more.
Okay. All right, one more. Here we go.
Okay.
What's more likely?
So LA has a football team in 2017 with incredible uniforms, a winning record, and two postseason appearances. Okay. Mm. Or LA falls into the Pacific in 2017 as a result of a natural or man-made disaster, an earthquake, tsunami, terrorism, or a super volcano.
Mm. Ooh. Do we have volcanoes around here?
No, the one in Yosemite, though, would affect us.
Mm. Well, there was that big article, which was fascinating, about the Pacific Northwest earthquake. But that doesn't really affect Los Angeles. So I'm going to say they're going to have the winning team.
Yeah, I could tell you what I want it to be.
Trophies.
I don't want mass casualties.
Well, that's not the name of the game, Dan.
But it's more likely.
It's more likely.
That earthquake, Seattle's the one that should be in this. Get rid of Seattle and Portland.
Why can't LA have a team with two playoff victories?
Yeah.
I feel like that's possible. I'm going with that.
I'll go with that as well.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't happen, Colleen. That would be sad.
Colleen, vaguely disappointed that millions of people aren't going to die.
Colleen just wanted
only
more.
Only slightly
more,
true.
Colleen wanted more trees to burn. Colleen hates more. This. All right. That's it. That's it for today's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday. Three shows
Dan,
a week.
Dan, come on.
Oh, what?
Oh,
the drill.
You're still shoehorning.
Oh, we're doing
hit.
That.
Oh, yeah, we're still doing it. Yeah,
podcast. Oh, no wonder you were rushing me.
For the anti-Mark Sessler, it goes to Colleen Wolf.
Wow.
Oh.
First time for everything.
Great.
Well, define anti-Mark Sessler.
I don't know what that means.
That she wins?
Well, yeah, Mark's never won one.
That TD has an appreciation of her?
All around. All
that
around.
Was the quickest of what's more likely was
answer.
Ever decided.
Oh, yeah.
Like minutes ago, we were wondering whatever. How do you feel, Colleen?
I feel great. I feel wonderful. This has been an outstanding experience. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's it. Thank you very much for coming on, Colleen. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Connie Fox, the mailman. Now I realize with the music, I got to time it out better. The boss, you look good today. And TD behind the glass. Until Wednesday.